rewards for my business? Why bother? Big question mark, everybody. If that gets your ears pinned back, I'm glad you're here because we've got a good reason for you to listen and to grab a notebook, because today we're going to talk about awards that is very relevant. I'm delighted we've just picked up a couple, so I've got to get a plug in there. We were voted the best franchise consultant in Australia for 2024. So very, very happy indeed with that. And got to the finals of a couple of others. So what I'd like to do today, I've been very lucky. I was introduced by a couple of our experts that work with us, Jeremy and Deborah Harris, to Karen Hall. Karen's the founder and director of Reputation by Design. It's a marketing agency, and they specialize in trust and reputation and basically using it as an asset to drive business growth. I think trusted brands are something like 7 times more likely to command a premium price and benefit from 6 times the consumer loyalty. So, you know, proactively amplifying the trust in your business can pay big dividends. And I think it's something we all tend to overlook. We take it for granted. Complacency, there's no room for it. So being nominated, being a finalist and winning an award, you know, or 2 or 3, why not go for a plural, is a way to fast track trust in your brand. And Karen and her team are award-winning experts, and they help to find the right award for you to enter. They help you prepare the submission and help you leverage it for maximum profile and social proof. So, Karen, delighted to have you here today. Hi.
Thank you so much. Hi, Brian.
Anything I've missed there you'd like to add to your bio, just to give any more guide to anybody?
Probably only that I've been in the marketing business for over 30 years. So I do have a little bit of passion for this stuff. And I started the business solopreneur in 2015. So it's our 9th birthday just gone. And we've now got a team of 16 people helping support small businesses globally.
Congratulations. That's quite an achievement. So we know we're drawing upon experience here. So I suppose the first question, pretty obvious one, which is why you're here. Why awards, Karen?
Yeah, 100%. And it is a question we get asked quite often. So Brian's just already given you some really, really insightful research on that. So the 6 times trust and credibility. The other research around that is that compared to non-award-winning companies, award-winning businesses can increase their turnover up to 60%. So if you've got an award-winning versus a non-award-winning company, the research says that you can increase your turnover, your revenue, by a lot of times more. And that's not just a one-hit wonder. So because of that trust and credibility, businesses are attracted to do business with you, and you can show higher sales even 5 years after winning an award. We would recommend that you keep your awards up to date and not let them be 5 years old, because that is getting a little bit less trustworthy. But that halo effect does carry on. It just doesn't stop after 1 year. It can show a halo effect up to 5 years after winning. Really important for us as well, particularly for as we grow our own business, but for businesses that are growing team, is that award-winning businesses can experience 88% more motivation from employees because they feel valued by that recognition. So every time we win an award for ourselves, our team are so ecstatic. They get so, so excited. And the research plays out that that can play out as an attraction business. So you can attract more top talent as an award-winning business, and also on the retention side. So good talent are more likely to stay with an award-winning business because they feel that sense of pride as you are an award-winning business versus a non-award-winning. So you've got motivation, you've got attraction, and you've got a retention at play there just for the team, let alone you've got revenue that stays on for that trust and credibility that people are drawn to as well. So for all of those reasons, that's the why your awards answer.
Well, you're opening my eyes. So if there's not enough hooks there for you to keep you tuned in, then what can I say? So I've got a few questions to ask you. I'm interested as well, which I'll delve into a bit later. You know, there's types of businesses and industries that are relevant, but I'm just interesting. I mean, I think we'd like to know a little bit more about who we're talking to. So, Karen, could you give me a bit of background? You said you just had your 9th business birthday. Congratulations. And you've grown to 16 staff, which is amazing. So what motivated you to start offering business award writing services? You know, basically the key reason we're talking today.
Yeah, so when we started the business, it was just me with a laptop. And we were a more generalist marketing agency. But 2 years ago, I honed in on, you know, what some people call it origin story, but I honed in on my why, my purpose. And I remember when I started the business, other people believed in me more than I potentially believed in myself. So it was leaving corporate roles for over 25 years, where you've got that kind of, where you feel, you know, a bit safer, and leaving that to really to an entrepreneur lifestyle where you've got to hustle and do your own thing. A little bit like, you know, the franchise land, in terms of you have some support, but you are, you know, your own boss, and to an extent. And, you know, even my then husband, you know, just said, leave corporate. You've got this, you've got the work ethic, just do it. And he, you know, badgered me for a couple of years, probably why we're not married anymore. No, that's not true. But, you know, I had other people in my corner believing in myself much more than I do. And I find this with recognition and, you know, with people with imposter syndrome, they're doing amazing things in their business and even in their lives, but they don't put themselves out there. Mm-hmm. They don't put themselves up for public recognition or even in the form of awards. And the more I spoke to people, you know, when we started to specialize in this, the more I went, this is what I stand for. I stand for giving people the support, but also giving them the confidence to get the recognition they deserve, to, you know, put the devil on their shoulder to bed and saying, I deserve this. So we honed in on this thing called trust, and particularly reputation marketing, to kind of put that self-doubt to the side and give them the tools, the expertise, and the way of achieving, you know, what they deserve in life. And what we found with their business is that if you give them that pathway and you give them the tools, once they start receiving that external validation and that, you know, that pat on the back, they tend to believe in themselves a lot more. And mindset is everything in business, as you know, Brian. And once you can change people's mindset, they just feel, you know, it can change the way they feel about their business. It can go from a drudgery to something that they're incredibly proud of, or just tweak how proud they are of it. So we get a massive kick out of that. My team feels like they've won every time a client wins. And then we just want to do better and better and better. So that's why we do what we do. That's why we started specializing it. And it's become such a passion piece for us and the team now. It's our number one service that we offer. And I couldn't think of doing anything else. We get to speak to the most amazing businesses all across Australia, New Zealand, Canada, the US. We just picked up our first Hawaiian client, speaking to people in Portugal and all over the world now. And their stories are incredible. And they just need a storyteller to tell that.
Yeah, I can relate to that. It's not false modesty, but I think, you know, a lot of people are inherently a bit on the shy side. So not lacking an ego, but it's just feeling you're being a bit brazen and a bit brash by getting out there and shouting your own trump, blowing your own trumpet. But I think if you don't, who's going to? So
exactly. And just to add to that quickly, women run 40% of small businesses, and yet they only win 13% of awards internationally. So we're here to champion that as well. You know, we don't want to push the men off the stage, but we want to be on the stage and share that stage equally. And a lot of women that we speak to say, you know, I'll be ready next year. My business will be in a better shape next year. You know, I'll be doing better things next year. And they just put it off and put it off. So there is certainly some imposter syndrome in the women that we speak to as well, that they don't feel deserving, or they don't feel deserving yet, because, you know, perfection is still coming. But you don't have to be perfect to win an award. That's a number one tip.
Yeah. Look, we did an article, I'm not sure if it's been published or it's coming out next month, but about women CEOs in business. And we're seeing more and more in the franchise space, and generally, although it still lags pretty dramatically, but the statistics that have been suggested or provided are that women are 6% make a business 6% more profitable than a business that's male managed, which is curious.
Right.
And I think it is that attitude. So it's giving them that extra bit of confidence to get it out there, because there's no doubt about it. We certainly having more inquiries from women these days than men. It's tipped the balance quite significantly.
Right.
Fantastic. So, what sort of businesses, what type of industries do you sort of specialize in or handle particularly, Karen?
All SMEs across every industry you can imagine. And it so that can be from professional services, think financial services, accounting, lawyers, the whole gamut, through to trades, FMCG, you name it, we've written it and won it. Not-for-profit as well, everything that you can imagine. The trick is to find the right category for the right life stage of the business. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is we recently had a client come to us and they wanted to enter the Telstra Best of Business, but we knew that they weren't ready for that because they were at early stage. So we found a better suited award for them. We talked to them about the why that wasn't right. You know, they're just too early stage revenue. And we talked to them about a better suited award for them. There are a lot of awards that are at pre-revenue, startup, early revenue stage. And then you can find awards at every kind of life stage of a business beyond that, right through to, you know, getting a business some awards before they get ready to sell to give them this extra credibility and trust for, you know, the sales process. We're getting we're entering a lawyer in some awards at the moment as she's getting ready to sell her business in 2 or 3 years. So she's got a lot of that credibility behind her as well.
Wow.
So it doesn't matter the industry.
Yeah. Sorry, I spoke across you. I said it's a real smorgasbord. That's right. Much out there. I'm really quite amazed. Sorry, carry on.
Yeah. No, there are the only award I've never found a proper category before, probably, is pet food. It's the only one I'm struggling with. But we had someone come to us the other day and they do consulting in the mining industry. We found an incredible award for them. We do lots of awards in the US for cybersecurity clients and Australia, actually. Yeah, there are a ton of categories. It's finding the right one. We've got to give you some context for that, we have got an awards database of over 7,000 awards and categories. And we've only just touched the surface in the US. So the majority of those are Australian. And we would know 99% of the awards that are available, and that there is an award for everything.
Wow, that's staggering.
Yes.
You know, as a lady, I thought there were half a dozen out there, you know, as well as the local newspaper, but it gets close to show.
No, we've got over 7,000 now, mostly Australian as well. Just to add to that, actually, we've had a lot of success at entering Australian, either individuals or businesses, in some international awards. So don't think that our borders are constrained. Sometimes businesses will actually do better on the international stage than they will on the Australian stage, just because the categories or the awards or the categories are better. So for example, there was some not-for-profit categories that were a lot better for an international women's award that we won for a lady last year, and the gala dinner was in New York. But even for the franchisors, there might be some incredible categories that are internationally based awards. So we always look international awards as well. The International Business Awards are open at the moment. We're entering those ourselves because we think there's an amazing category there for us rather than some of the ones that are just geographically Australian.
Right. I'm talking to the right person, I'm sure, about that, to ask this question. So what are the common challenges that, you know, people like, you know, me or people listening face if they're looking for awards, and how can you help them? I've learned you've got a 7,000 database of awards, so that's a good start. But perhaps could you expand a little bit on that and how you would help me if I was looking for something?
Yeah, so actually knowing the right awards to enter is the biggest challenge and the biggest question we get. So Brian, you might know of three awards, and you know, your fit for those awards is the second challenge. So you might know of three awards and you might think you fit two of them. If you speak to us, we might go, no, I probably wouldn't enter those two. Here are four others that I would prioritize for you, and this is why. And of those, two are open now and one's open in May and one's open in October. Let's have a chat about those and why those are a better fit for you. So there's a couple of things there. There's the right award, the right qualifying, Last month, I think we said no to about 12 clients who came to us to enter an award, and it wasn't the right fit. So knowing the awards intimately and whether it's right for their category and their, you know, how they would fare in that, and then when they open, so you don't miss one because it closed last week.
Yeah, always frustrating to miss a closing date. So thank you for that. So what sort of advice would you give to people who are thinking about entering awards? So this come back to little old me again. I'm thinking about entering for some more awards, having got a couple of caps on my head. What would be your recommendations?
Yeah, so Brian and I had a chat before this, and he hasn't leveraged his award wins, so that would be one. So have a plan. So if you are entering awards, we do need a leverage plan after that, but that's kind of after the fact. But the first one is saying we've chosen the right award and we are writing it. Can I share with you our secret sauce?
Please do. Yeah.
The writing. Yeah.
Do the Colonel Sanders that you carry it with this.
Yes. So when we're writing it, we get to see, so one of our team is a judge, so we get to see that side of it. And we also get to see some of our clients submit to us non-winning awards that they've entered themselves. So we get to see that side of it as well, the not so pretty side. And so we've come up with our formula for winning awards. It's called the 3S formula. The first S stands for storytelling. So we want lots of case studies or stories in there of how you've helped your clients or how your business has evolved. So for your franchisors or your franchisees, so your franchisors, if they're entering, you know, how they have helped their members or their franchisees, and your franchisees, you know, how they've helped their clients. So if that's a mowing company or a landscaper, say it's a landscaper, you know, what are some specific examples of some individual people that they've helped with their landscaping? And what did they come to you for? What did you do for them? And what was the result? If it's a accounting franchisee, you know, what did Bob come to you for? What did you do for them? And what was the result? So that's storytelling is how we grew up as little kids. Our brains are wired around stories. So that's going to really engage the judges on an emotional level. And then technically, we have to answer all of the questions as well. So don't just, a lot of times questions come in lots of threes. So one question will have three parts to it. So you have to answer every single part because the judge is sitting there with a little checklist. Don't just answer the first part, answer every single part to it. So you have to answer it technically and emotionally as well. So that storytelling is the first one, and it's really, really important. So tell in stories about your business and tell in stories how you've helped your clients. The second S is statistics. So every claim you make, back up with a statistic. So whether that's a business metric or it's a growth metric, or you can get really creative here. It's some form of statistic that supports a claim you've made. So it might be, you know, grown my team. So by what and to what? So percentage and to 10 people. So I've grown my team by 50% to 10 people or whatever it is. So every single claim has to have a statistic to it. And the third S is specifics. So don't just write a general statement, be really specific about what that means. So what's an example? My business cares about, my business is environmentally conscious. So what are you doing to be environmentally conscious? What's the impact of that? You know, how do you carry out those policies? How does your staff know about that, et cetera? So don't just stop at that general motherhood statement. You have to actually explain how that is enacted in your business.
Right. Now, I'm a judge on three or four panels, right, the franchise industry panels, and I do see some statistics that I personally look at very skeptically and say, hey, hang on, I don't believe that.
Mm-hmm.
How do you balance? Because I think we know if we're going for an award, we're up against competitors. They're all putting in their best shot, and you still want to stay credible and you want to be honest. But how do you balance, you know, I suppose the creativity and I suppose factual accuracy when you're submitting for an award? How do you balance that? You know, where's the line?
So we always are on the line of factual accuracy, but you can put in the statistics that show your business in the best light. So you don't have to put in every statistic. So the statistics that show your business in the best light, but also to your point, Brian, you often are allowed between 4 and 10 attachments. So you can show the statistics off in an attachment. So if that's growth metrics, then put in from a zero report or another, whatever report you have in your business, you know, put that as an attachment to that. And because you've got so many attachments often, or you can have numerous pages in one attachment, you can actually show that off. Sometimes awards will ask for an audited report, for an audited letter from your accountant. Mm-hmm. If that's asked for, give it 100%. So we always err on fact, but you can choose the statistics that you put in and don't put in. And there is always a way to positively spin a statistic or a business metric. So it's how you present the data that's really, really important. And that's where the creativity comes in, but it's never a lie. And back it up with the attachment to prove the statistic or the claim.
Right. So when I was doing one of my submissions, I thought, you know, I need to be conscious. I don't want the documents I attach to be too large, because are they going to read it? And I do wonder with some of these cases, you know, are they read? Are you, by putting in 5 attachments, they may say you can, but, you know, are they actually going to be read and noted, or are they going to be flicked over and not taken as any consequence? What's your view on that?
So we always try and reference the attachment to in the actual entry. So if we have a brilliant case study on how you've helped a client, then at the end of that case study, say, see attachment 1, and then it makes the attachment relevant to the judge. It's not just a random attachment and they don't know how it relates to anything. So they'll either then read the entry and then go, okay, I'll read the attachment 1 because it relates to it right then. Or when they get to the attachments, they'll go, okay, I knew that attachment 1 was coming. So you kind of got to do the judge's job for them a little bit. What that does as well is it makes sure you don't put in irrelevant or superfluous attachments that you just chuck in to fill a spot, to fill a file spot. So they have to be really intricate and relevant to what you've written in the entry. It's not just another marketing brochure or something else that doesn't relate.
Gotcha. I can see a lot of invaluable advice there. I've learned a lot listening to you this morning. So, so from that point of view, I suppose, how deeply involved do you get with your clients when it comes to their awards and so forth? We start off by contacting Karen, and she says, yes, these are the awards we'd recommend you could go in for. What's your journey beyond that, or your options for your clients, Karen?
Yeah, so we love, one of my favorite things to do is find the right awards for clients. That's my superpower personally. And then we have an awards writing team, and they're a team of journalists. So we use journalists rather than copywriters, because journalists' job is storytelling and finding the points of difference and your points of uniqueness. So a journalist will then contact the client and actually interview them. We love that methodology because, as you know, business owners are always really, really close to their business, can't kind of see what they're doing differently sometimes, or take for granted what they are doing day to day. Whereas someone once removed, so to have that 1 degree of separation in an interview format, can say, hang on, Brian, look, tell me more about that. That sounds really, really interesting. And probe and prod and get that kind of detail and you know, information out of you. So it's not a one-way stream of information. It's two-way. It's a real conversation. And it's the journalist's job, as I said, to find those stories and those points of difference. So an interview, covering off the award questions, obviously, but also making sure that you don't gloss over anything that is different, but that you just go, oh, that's just me doing my job. And also just asking those questions, probing and probing until we get to something that's really unique. So what we want to put in the judge's hands is something they've never read before. Yeah. So then after the interview, our journalists go away and write it up. Saves you a ton of time. That's one of our, reasons for being, and then gives you back a draft. If you want to make any changes at that stage, you obviously can. Then it comes back to us. We finalize it with any feedback. We proofread it, get all the compiled attachments together, and then submit it all online for you. So again, saving you a heap of time. But it also at that stage goes to our head of awards, who's already seen it once and does that big uniqueness check. So we can hand on heart say it's as unique as possible. No one else has ever said what you've said. Your stories are, something that the judges wouldn't have read before. And we're really happy to put it forward for you.
Right. That sounds like a lot of work. Can you give me, our marketplace, generally speaking, is fairly small to medium-sized businesses. What sort of budget range? I imagine you can be involved to different levels depending on what we need, what skills we've got on board. But would you be able to give us a bit of a range of what the investment is to submit, for a credible award, Karen?
Yeah, 100%. So the awards that we have entered in years of doing this, about 8 years we've been doing awards, range from about 300 words up to about 5,000 words. But they do vary in price, but on average, they're about $1,000 per award for us to do that entire process. And so if it's a little bit shorter, it might be a little bit less. So we're doing some at the moment that are about $800. If they're a little bit longer than average, they might be about $1,200. So, but on average, they're about $1,000 per entry. And your time commitment is that 1 hour kind of interview at the beginning. Again, that's an average, but it's about an hour. And then to review it as well. And obviously just to send us through headshots, logos, kind of thing. So we aim to save you about 10 to 12 hours per submission. Which is huge because you can spend it back on your business or with your clients and obviously increase your chances of winning. We've won over 620 awards for our clients now. And yeah, it feels like we're winning every time. It's
I'm shocked. I thought it'd be more than that. So that's brilliant. I really do. I can see the value in investing $800 to $1,200. And if you can pick up or get it as a finalist in an award already,
yes,
recognition from that. You don't have to win it for it to have an impact, I don't think, really. I've started looking at people's awards lately, and there's a lot of people who, selected semi-finals and all sorts of things like that. So they still have some credibility because you can't win everything. But
yes,
fantastic. So look, I would love to talk to you more, but for our listeners who would like to learn a bit more, where can you recommend they can get in touch with you? What's the best way to contact you, Karen?
Yeah, so definitely get in touch if you'd like a free awards plan. Just a little tip for franchisees as well. Sometimes your franchisor will pay for your entry. So we do work with some franchisors at the moment, and they're very happy to pay for your entry because guess what? If you win an award, that has a halo effect onto their brand. So we've got some franchisors that will pay, that are paying for 10 and 12 entries for their franchisees at the moment. So that's a little tip. Free awards plan to find the best awards for you. It's no obligation. It's our way of giving back to get more people recognized. And that, if you email me, Karen, K-A-R-E-N, at reputationbydesign.com. And also on our website, which is reputationbydesign.com, there is a free scorecard as well. So the scorecard is called Are You Awards Ready? And it gives you a kind of a high level insight into what the judges are looking for in 10 questions. If you want to, see whether you might be awards ready or what kind of questions are covered in some of the awards as well. I guess the next step from that is the awards plan. So that's why we love doing that. We're in March already, so some awards have closed this year, but we can give you look at the rest of the years and the ones that have closed already. they can be on your list for next year.
All right. One last question then that just popped into my head. How much notice do you need? I mean, if I said I'd like an award, I'd like to pitch in for whatever it might be, how much time would you say you need reasonably to be able to prepare the application?
Yeah, great question. Awards are normally open for 4 weeks. We love to work with people, you know, as soon as they open, but we have done an award entry in 1 week. That's not our preference. Just putting it out there, that's not our preference. So between 2 and 4 weeks would be ideal.
All right, perfect. I don't know. Yeah. We had a fantastic conversation. I feel I've learned so much across the landscape of awards and reputation by design as well. Was there anything you'd like to add before we just wrap up and thank everyone for listening, Karen?
I think just, I guess that this is an underutilized tool in the marketing suite of tools. How we like to think of it is that it can be a really quick shot in the arm for your business. If you're already doing a whole lot of things right for your clients in customer service, customer experience, etc., then those things are going to shine through in an award anyway. And this is just taking that to the next level. We like to think of it as fast tracking the things that you're already doing well. And yeah, I guess a lot of people we speak to haven't thought about it as a tool in the marketing armory of tools. So yeah, we like to encourage people to think about it as that and treat it as, you know, having a plan for it within your broader marketing plan. And then having those timelines in place really helps you not panic about it, know when the awards are coming up, not have to panic about it. And just as, you know, I don't do my tax return myself as a business owner. That would be too tricky. Or I don't do my own mortgage application, then getting an expert in can really, really help, you know, improve your chances of winning, just as my mortgage broker and my tax accountant helped me with that stuff.
That makes absolute sense. Today I'll be talking to Karen Hall from Reputation by Design. I hope you've enjoyed the conversation as much as me. And if you want to know more, as I say, we've mentioned how to contact Karen, and if you're not sure, get in touch with me. We can always put you in touch again. So Karen, thank you so much. I've really enjoyed chatting to you. Really, I love your energy and I love your enthusiasm. And I'm really impressed with what you do and the offer, I suppose, with regards to what I think is a fairly modest investment. So that's fantastic. So thanks so much for spending the time to chat to us today.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
And everybody, I look forward to speaking to you again very soon for our next Franchise Radio Show.